Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Thank you, Terry Barr, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Todd Albaugh Show for Monday, November 5th, 2022, across the state of Wisconsin on WXCE in Amory, WXCO in Wausau, and WRCE in Richland Center, or around the world on the Civic Media app streaming worldwide, wherever you are today. We welcome you in and thank you for joining us today. Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, engineer, and all-around great guy, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Mr. Zommers, gotten a little fluid in you here. He's recovering from cat allergies over the weekend.
Yep, lots of fun stuff. At least I didn't go and like pet them or hug them or anything.
You don't want to do that.
In the same house for a couple of hours. But.
David Letterman used to always do that. I can't do it as well as he did, but he used to, midnight and the kitties are screaming. Oh, the beautiful kitties. I don't know. It was a take on cats, but it was fantastic. And Paul Schaefer would join in at the band, and hilarity would ensue. But in any event, glad you're feeling better. It was your birthday on Friday. Did what big activities did you do?
Well, I had a mimosa and some cake here. Yes, yes. From Todd, and thank you very much.
You're
very
welcome.
Tasty.
Awesome.
My two of my three sisters came down from Manitowoc, and my niece with them.
Great.
So we had some fun watching Disenchanted, the sequel to Enchanted, which, official review from Aaron Zommers, it's fine.
Okay, like, it's fine. Just
yeah,
it's not terrible.
It's not bad. It's not anything to write home about.
All right.
Well, I would rather just watch the original.
It's hard to make magic happen on a sequel. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes they nail it, sometimes not as much. Yeah. This one has a lot of fun references to past like Disney princess movies.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. Nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. If you don't have anything else to do, Zommers says check it out. We got to find out where to stream Love Actually, because I had a request. They heard us talk about it last week, and they're like, "Well, I tried to find it over the weekend, Todd, and I couldn't find it." So, see, this is why people make fun of me. They like to make fun of Toto because I like my DVDs, but by gosh, when I want to watch a movie, I know exactly how to watch it because it's in my DVD collection. I just pop it in the DVD player and bada bang, it's right there. I'm not paying anything. I'm not downloading anything. I'm not streaming anything. It's right there. You see, people make fun of me. Oh, Todd, well, you can just stream everything now. Actually, no, you can't. You can't just stream everything. So I'm a DVD collection guy.
Yeah, I don't think Love Actually is like free/included with subscription anywhere right now, just from what I'm looking. But
so how do you watch it if you don't have it on DVD?
You can buy it on Amazon Prime or rent it. Or other places, like anywhere else you can buy movies, like iTunes, Google Play.
You have to buy the movie.
Yep. Or if you have Peacock Premium, AMC, or any of those other ones that you probably don't have. I know I don't. You can watch them included with that membership.
All right. Aaron Zommers on the technology part there. We appreciate that. But if you could find it on DVD, pick it up or one of these other places. But Love Actually is a great holiday movie. Not so great weather around the state of Wisconsin at this hour. I could tell you that up in Amory, Wisconsin, probably one of the nicer places today. Look for a high near the... a slight chance of snow, then a high near 27. Just a little bit of flurries there. Maybe a half an inch of accumulation or so up in Amory today. Wausau WXCO today, a high near 32 and cloudy. Down in southwest Wisconsin, that's where things are a bit dicey today. WRCE land near Richland Center and Point South and West. They have a hazardous weather advisory out today and a winter weather advisory. Some freezing drizzle, up to a tenth of an inch of ice and freezing rain this morning in RCE land, and then perhaps a half an inch of snow is not out of the question in some places, perhaps southwest of Richland Center today. If you don't have to drive in the southwest Wisconsin today, would encourage you to stay home until things kind of clear off a little bit later. A high of around 36 degrees, so it's right on that freezing edge there this time of year. And then tonight, things will get just cloudy and a low near 20 tomorrow. Look for a high near 36, so be careful if you're on the roadways there. What do you need to know on this 5th of December? 2022, a Monday, power grid attack. We talked to you about that last week. 30,000 people in North Carolina remain without power after what appears to be a targeted, intentional attack with gunfire over the weekend, knocking out power to some 30,000 customers. The FBI is now involved to find out who could be responsible for this attack. Senate runoff down in Georgia tomorrow as Georgians get ready to make the final selection between incumbent Raphael Warnock, a Democrat, and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. A record number of voters down there have voted in this runoff election. Be very interested to see if Democrats can pick up a 51st seat in the U.S. Senate. Right now, they are assured of 50-50 with Kamala Harris, vice president for the Democrats, casting the tiebreaker vote. Bob McGrath, original cast member of the beloved children's show Sesame Street, passed away over the weekend. He was 90 years old. And in sports, Graham Mertz, quarterback for the Wisconsin Badgers, has entered the transfer portal. That leaves Wisconsin with just senior Chase Wolf and redshirt freshman Miles Burkett available for the bowl game. The Badgers got a bid to the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. I said it wrong last hour. I called it the Quicken Loan Bowl. It's all the same thing, right? But Guaranteed Rate Bowl is what they are in on December 27th versus Oklahoma State down there in Phoenix, Arizona. So at least a warm weather climate for the Badgers. The Badger volleyball team is on to the Sweet 16. They will take on Penn State at the Fieldhouse this Saturday. And Jim Leonard, defensive coordinator for the Badger football team, says, or apparently he has not made a choice on whether he will stay with the Badgers next season or not. Back with your phone calls and more, Phil Nee at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Music this morning. Thank you, Mr. Zommers. We'll see you. Hang on. Very good. Now, this is, if memory serves, don't tell me. If memory serves, this was the theme to Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, and then went on to be a Next Generation music as well. Is that correct?
Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I do know, as my friends like to point out, I have an uncanny, odd, and very weird ability to recall Star Trek references by memory. And so, yes, that was Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, and then it went on to be the next gen, a variation of that went on to be the next gen theme song in the television series as well. We were using the Star Trek reference because I said in the segment regarding the attack on the power generators or the utility systems in North Carolina over this weekend, that authorities used the phrase, "They knew exactly where to hit us," which is a direct quote from Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, when Spock said to Kirk, "They knew exactly where to hit us." So a very serious issue, but down there in North Carolina, we will see what happens and who they find out is responsible for that. And we'll keep an eye on that as well. A little lighter note here. Remember, Phil Nee from WRCE. WRCO is joining us at the bottom of the hour from the RC, Richland Center. He'll talk about all things music. Those Were the Days, his program on Saturday night, as well as some big news for New Year's Eve. He'll share with us as well. There's really no audio to go with this, so I can't ask Aaron to bring it up. But If you have a chance today, go on, Google up, as my old boss used to say, Google it up. Google up raccoon attack. Okay, just Google up raccoon attack, and I bet it'll pop. At first, I thought maybe this was just like video fixed, but now it's also being tweeted out by CBS News at this hour. A mother fends off an aggressive raccoon that attacked her 5-year-old daughter while waiting for the school bus outside her home in Connecticut. The woman and child went to the hospital, but both are doing okay. And I'm telling you, Google this and watch it. This girl in the broad daylight in the morning is standing outside of her door waiting for the bus and this raccoon. And let me tell you, somebody who grew up in the country or around the country, spent a lot of time on the farm, this is not normal, okay? This does not happen. I've never seen this. A raccoon, and a sizable raccoon, out of nowhere comes and starts, you can't really tell if it's trying to gnaw or just bite on this little girl's leg or bite this shoe. I have no idea. But this poor girl is screaming as this raccoon is hanging on to her leg, and the mother comes out of the house and just immediately this mom reaches down with her bare hands and grabs this raccoon around her daughter's ankle and pulls that raccoon, picks up the girl and the raccoon, pulls the raccoon off the girl's leg. The girl runs in the house, and then that mom holding that raccoon by the scruff of the neck just tosses that thing out into the front yard. I mean, if that's not a Mom of the Year award winner right there, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I just watched it, and like Todd said, there's not really any audio, but you should look it up. It's only like a 20-second video. Definitely worth a watch.
I think it was probably like a Ring doorbell or something that captured this. So, I mean, just it's fantastic. And the closest thing that I got when I inherited our family farm on Highway 56 out in Richland County, I'd spent a lot of time there growing up, but then lived there full-time for a few years. And we had an infestation of raccoons on the farm. And there was a big tree outside the front door, a great big huge tree, had been there for years and years and years. And I would take the recyclables out, I'd take the trash out and put them in a sealable trash container. I'd seal it up to try to, you know, keep pests or whatever away from it. But these raccoons, they'd come in the middle of the night and somehow they would get this plastic trash bin open. And I looked out my dining room window one day at the farm, and I mean, I'm not exaggerating. There were a dozen raccoons all around the front porch and around the tree. And I had it, you see. And I went to my gun cabinet and I got my 12-gauge shotgun. And I put a couple of shells in and I turned off all the lights in the house. And it was like Rambo on the farm. I flung open the front door of the house and I just started shooting at these raccoons in the tree. And I think I got like three. And they just kind of fell because they were destroying the property. They had trash everywhere and food everywhere. And it was terrible. None attacked me, but I, you know, I got a couple, three of them with the shotgun. But this video, just dial it up on Google, a raccoon attack, this poor 5-year-old girl getting attacked in broad daylight. But her mom, God love her, stepped in and got those raccoons away. So that was fantastic. Other news before we bring in Phil Neon here at the bottom of the hour from WRCE talking music and all things WRCO. The Kennedy Center Honors were held over the weekend. I'm a big fan of the Kennedy Center Honors each of year. Do you watch those, Aaron, ever?
I don't know what that is.
Let me enlighten you, my friend. They're usually on the week after Christmas. They're broadcast on CBS. They have been for several years. And they're filmed, here it says right here, thanks to Ed O'Keefe, fine reporter, White House reporter from CBS, who I follow on the Twitter. Ed O'Keefe reporting that it airs on December 28th on CBS. So it happens, then they edit it a little bit, and then they broadcast it on December 28th of this year. Kennedy Center Honors takes people from the arts each and every year, a musician, an actor, a filmographer, a dancer, whatever it is in the arts, and it highlights them. And usually the President of the United States and the First Lady attend in the presidential box. And so whoever is being honored is up in the box with the president. And then other artists come and honor the artists who are being honored up in the box. And there's usually a big reception at the White House as well. But it's a great slice of Americana. It's a great time to celebrate the arts each and every year. And I always enjoy it very much. Of course, while Donald Trump was president, the president did not attend. First, because I guess he was just scared because he hated the arts. And number two, he wasn't wanted, quite frankly, with all of his attacks on the arts. But with Joe Biden being elected, the president is once again, and let me just hasten to add, I believe Trump was the first president since this started in the early 70s, I believe, to have not attended. So both Republicans and Democrats, I mean, George Bush was a huge proponent of this and went. Barack Obama, you know, Bill Clinton, George H.W., Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, all have attended so it's a bipartisan event most years. But last night or over the weekend, one of the things that really made the headlines was not the artists themselves, but the House Speaker outgoing speaker, Nancy Pelosi, was in attendance with her husband, Paul, wearing a very natty-looking black fedora. So I assume he still has visible wounds on his head from that attack in their San Francisco home. But good news that Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, was able to be out and about and attended the Kennedy Center honors with Speaker Pelosi over the weekend. And he has his tuxedo on in this photo I'm looking at here, but he also has this kind of natty-looking black fedora as well. So nice to see that Paul Pelosi is doing well enough to be out and about. The artists that were actually feted at the honorees, I should say, at the Kennedy Center Honors, U2 was honored last night. Gladys Knight, I'm not sure if the Pips were included in that, but Gladys Knight was there. Adi Grant, Tana Leone, and George Clooney. So lots of great folks there, and it'll be great to hear that music when the broadcast is done on December 28th. The broadcast airs on CBS on December 28th. But I'm excited to see the music. Like I say, always great music, and see how they're going to fet George Clooney. Do you have actors come out and, like, reprise some of his roles, or what do you do for George Clooney? Versatile actor. I mean, the only music I could think of was George Clooney, Brother, Where Art Thou? You ever see that movie, Aaron?
I have not, but it's on my list.
Definitely look that one up. Brother, Where Art Thou? Great, great movie and some wonderful music. I mean, just some great bluegrass music in that movie. So maybe they'll have some of that there. But, you two, obviously, easy to do, bring on some artists to do some of their songs. One of my favorite moments in Kennedy Center Honors history, just a few years ago when Barack Obama was still president, and Aretha Franklin came out, and I believe, who is the artist that they were honoring? Aretha wasn't the person that they were honoring. She's the one that performed. It was, Philody would know. She was a great songwriter, but Aretha Franklin came out and brought down the house. I mean, moved President Barack Obama to tears at this event, and he got up and gave her a standing ovation. Everybody else did. I still dial it up from time to time. Just if you dial up Kennedy Center Honors, Aretha Franklin, it is a what's the song? I am a woman. That's not the song. Or Material Woman. Anyway, I'm doing a terrible job of it. Philody will know at the bottom of the hour here. But just some great, great music from Aretha Franklin. Probably one of she was aging, obviously, but that woman still at that age, just a couple of years before she passed, she still had the pipes. I mean, the pipes to bring down the house at the Kennedy Center Honors. Oh, yeah, do you have it, Aaron? See, Aaron's so good. This is the Kennedy Center Honors. What song is it, Aaron? Does it say?
You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
That's it. See, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Let's see. Carole King.
Carole King. That's who they were honoring. Carole King. She's playing the piano. This is Aretha Franklin. On the morning rain. I used to feel so uninspired. Ugh. We can only listen to like 90 seconds at a time, or Facebook cuts us off. We can't like have big long songs. But if you could forward it a little bit later, Aaron, to where she actually gets away from the, she stands up away from the piano, then she goes up and sings center stage, and she takes off her mink or whatever kind of fur coat she was wearing, just lets it fall to the ground, and she just belts it out. I mean, belts it out. Here she is, Aretha. And at this point, Barack Obama has tears in his eyes, and he is just standing up and clapping. Yep. And Michelle Obama. I mean, hearing that gives me goosebumps still. But I mean, I can't imagine to be in the room and to feel the presence of this American legend, Aretha Franklin, as she sings that song. Makes me feel like a natural woman. I mean, just that is everything that the Kennedy Honors is right there, honoring the arts and the all-time greats. Carole King, who wrote the song, was standing up. She had tears in her eyes. She's clapping. I mean, it was a moment. I mean, you have these moments in entertainment and song and arts, and that was a moment when Aretha Franklin sang that song there at the Kennedy Center Honors a couple of years ago. So looking forward to the telecast, the broadcast on the 28th of this month on CBS. Again, the honorees this year, U2, Gladys Knight, Amy Grant, Taylor Leone, and George Clooney, your Kennedy Center Honors this year on CBS. So we'll look forward to that. Look forward to our next guest, the wonderful, the talented Philip James Nee from WRCE, WRCO at Richland Center, talking about Those Were the Days, his program on Saturday night, and some big news as well coming up for New Year's Eve. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, whether you're listening on WXCE in Avery, WXCO in Wausau, or on WRCE in Richland Center, or streaming on the World Wide Web via the Civic Media app on WRCE. We welcome you in to our second half hour of our number two here on the big program. And joining us live from Richland Center from WRCE Studios, speaking of Those Were the Days, it is the host of the program that has run for, what, Phil, 36, 37 years so far?
1986, yes.
Here on the big RCO, RCE. Those Were the Days, the host of that, the station manager as well, Philip James Nee. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
I am not too bad for a Monday morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm a little nervous to be on the Todd Allball Show.
Now, there's no reason for that at all. You and I have known each other since, I started at RCO in high school in 1987, and we've known each other, been through a lot. In fact, I was the fill-in host for Phil's show, Those Are the Days, the night his oldest daughter, oldest child, Macy, was born. So
1990.
Wow, 1990. That's right.
And I was also your guest on a TV show that you did at UW Platteville. You had a talk show kind of modeled after Late Night with David Letterman. And right. I was on that once, too.
It was fantastic. Phil brought down some of his vinyl and albums, and we went through that. I also had my old barber, Tom McCarthy, actually cut my hair during the show one time. that was fantastic. Phil and I, so we've known each other a long time, and never in my life did I think that we would end up back together, because Phil has stayed in radio and had a very successful career. I have made some ridiculous decisions and had a weird career. But here I am. I find myself back on Civic Media, and I can thank in large part Phil for being here, because I didn't know whether I should do this or wanted to do this again when approached by Civic to be on Back of the Air. And Phil was kind enough to have me out at his house. We sat there and chatted on his front porch. And you know, you said something to me, Phil, that really hit me. You said, Todd, you know what they say, you never forget your first love, and radio was your first love. And you know, it was kind of funny, but it was also very true, as it turned out. And so thank you. Thank you for giving me some good advice.
Well, good. Yeah, no, I'm glad you're back at it, because you need to be. That's, something you're good at.
Well, thank you. You're very good at it. You've been the host of Those Were the Days since 1986. For those of the folks that don't know, might be listening for the first time or introducing or hearing you the first time from Amory, Wausau, or other places, tell folks what Those Were the Days is as far as a program and what you do.
Well, we've been doing it, as we mentioned, since 1986. So oldies in 86, I went through like 1974. And now I'm really up to date. I go through 1992. So about 30 years. I figure 30 years, it's old enough to be an oldie. But we play a little bit of everything. We try to model it after radio that I grew up with. Many my age grew up listening to WLS radio out of Chicago. And I don't know how many fledgling DJs they inspired over the years, but it always sounded like they were having so much fun. So we try to do that too. We don't really stick with, a solid format. Like if we want to play a funny song, we want to play a song that maybe was a country crossover, we go for that too. But it's all about audience participation and trivia. And just this last Saturday night, I had a guy call. It was celebrating his 85th birthday. And I had a young man call who's a freshman in high school and requested the Doors. So that's the kind of age group that we're dealing with. And it's one of the rare shows in radio, I think, where you can do that.
Well, that's what's so cool about the program is that certainly it's evolved a little bit over time, as you say, the different genres of music. And, you know, say things that 30 years old are oldies. That now includes me because 1992 is when I was in college. So it makes me feel a little old. But the fact that Phil takes live requests, he does, you know, live segments. This is not a bunch of, I mean, some of the interviews occasionally will be pre-recorded, but you're doing all this live just like it was back in kind of some of the golden era of radio in the 50s and 60s.
Exactly. And I think that radio has kind of gotten away from that. It's real easy to just let a computer play music. You know, you're lacking personality. And I think that that's one of the places where we can do that, get that feedback from the listening audience. I've had people call me late at night, 11:30 at night, and they'll be like, oh, there really is somebody there. Really can talk to somebody. And I guarantee you can't call too many stations and find that.
No, absolutely not. And I think that's one of the cool things. Again, I understand. I think you and I share the fact that neither one of us are big fans of change. But, you know, I know there's a lot of apprehension when Civic bought WRCO, WRCE. But, you know, I can tell you from being at the main studio every or most days and just in general, they are committed to keeping your show the way it is and WRCO FM. And because they are investing in local radio, just what you said, to keep kind of those things that only radio can do to keep that where it is and then expand that at other communities where it hasn't been.
Exactly. And I heard that from other people in the business when they heard we were sold. They were like, okay, well, you know, it's just a matter of time before I'll be greeting at Walmart or whatever the case right. might be, you know. And I got to say, Civic Media has been wonderful. Much better than even I thought in my wildest dreams I expected. It's been awesome.
Indeed it has, and I've been a pleasure to be a part of that, and nice to be your colleague once again under the Civic Media umbrella. We were talking, Phil, last segment a little bit about the Kennedy Center Honors and some of the folks that they were honoring this year. Among them, U2 is on the list of honorees this year, along with who else is being honored? I had it right here in front of me. Amy Grant, Taylor Leone, and George Clooney. But are you a big fan of the Kennedy Center Honors? Some of the great music they've had over the years?
Oh, absolutely. And you can look up some of the YouTube videos. They've had some awesome performances over the years when they pay tribute to somebody. And it'll be interesting to see who pays tribute to U2. I know it's going to be broadcast on CBS. I think it's December 28th.
You're correct.
We'll get a chance to see that. Yeah.
Always a good time. And I was talking to Aaron before the break here when Aretha Franklin came on and Obama was president, and she brought the house down with "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman," and just, you know, everybody had tears in their eyes, including President Obama. But I mean that was only a couple of years before she passed. I mean, that woman right. still had pipes. I mean, she went out center stage and she let it rip.
Yes, she did. I've seen that video before. It's awesome. Another great one is when they paid tribute to Led Zeppelin. The Wilson sisters and Hart played Led Zeppelin's song, and the Led Zeppelin guys are up there in tears. So to bring them to tears, and it wasn't because it was so bad. they weren't crying because of that. They were crying because it was so good.
Well, music really is one of those things, and I know music just in general is one of your passions, and it's one of those things that bind us together. And one of the things, since we started this program, you know, we're going to talk about things political that are important and at times can be divisive, but we also want to talk about things that can bring us together. And I think that, you know, your program, Those Are the Days on Saturday nights on WRCO, is a great example of that. Music, like they are celebrated at the Kennedy Center Honors, it doesn't matter your political affiliation. Everybody can be brought together by really great music.
Absolutely. That's the case. If you're at a wedding dance or you're at a bar or whatever and dancing, that's what everybody, you know, can get together and kind of throw everything aside and enjoy that.
Phil and I were talking just before I came on the air, off the air. He was so kind, and you included me even when I was just a punky kid in high school, and would have me come on. And those that might not remember, the announcer on Price is Right for many, many years of Bob Barker, his name was Johnny Olson. And so Phil kind of created this character called Johnny Olson Allball. And so I would come on and during trivia, and we would make up things like give away goofy prizes. And so, you know, you'd say, you know, Johnny Olson Allball, tell us one of our contestants can win. And so try to come on and say, well, Phil, some of our contestants could win, you know, rice and roni, the San Francisco treat. Anyway, things like that. So one time, Phil actually dispatched me as a live report to a local bar in Richland Center, the Press Box, which former head coach Barry Alvarez was a part owner of. And things did not go exactly as planned.
No, we thought you were going to maybe get that exclusive interview, but you didn't that night. I don't know why.
Barry was having none of it. He was there to have a good time. I went up to him and said, Coach, I'm from WRCO. Can we get a quick interview with you? And I think his response was something was like, no, we're not here for that. We're here to have fun.
We're here to have fun tonight. So, yeah, you got thrown out that time. I'll tell you what.
I struck out.
I remember saving you, though, once, our former owner, Mr. Athanas.
Yes, Athanas.
He called me into his front office, and you only ever got called in there if you're getting hired or fired.
Exactly.
So he calls me in there, and he says, say, Todd, play this song. I was driving back from Madison, and Todd played this song, and you knew they were going to swear, but they said something else. I'm not sure. And I said, was it shaving cream? Yes, it was shaving cream. And I said, no, that was me. It wasn't Todd. And he said, you played it. Never again. So I saved you. Your radio career might have been brief if I would have.
Exactly. You know, Phil stepped in.
If I would have said, yeah, Todd played it.
Phil Nee had the power to end my entire radio career that day by simply saying, yeah, that son of a gun, Todd, you got to get rid of him. But no, he took the bullet for me. He was, yeah. You were honest, a stand-up guy. I appreciate that. But yeah, it was a long time before the tune Shaving Cream was played again. Those were the days.
I think it was the first time he was out of town, to be honest.
And it's a great song. It's a classic oldie song. Nothing wrong with it.
Yes. I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked into my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. And so it goes.
Another example of the fun and games you can have on those are the days. And now with Civic Media, people can stream it, right, on the big app.
Absolutely. Yep, they can do that too. We're trying to make arrangements possibly to archive the shows. That's down the road a little bit. But I have had the opportunity to interview a lot of great people over the years too. You know, mostly by phone because Richland Center is out in the middle of nowhere. We're not a hub where people come through and play a lot of concerts. But over the phone, you know, some of my childhood heroes like Dick Clark. I had him on. And Steve Allen from early television days. Nancy Sinatra. George Harrison's sister, Louise, that's probably as close as I've ever come to a Beatle. But
the singing kind, anyway.
yeah, exactly. But lots of them that made a lot of history and a lot of music through the years. Judy Collins, lots of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Leonard Cohen was on with me once, again, all by phone line. But Mike Smith, lead singer of the Dave Clark Five. And so, yeah, it goes on and on. I've got boxes of cassette tapes. So I got to get those stored somehow digitally sometime.
But I think that's amazing, Phil. It really is. I mean, for a station, like you say, that is not on the Hot 100 in the country, and you've been able to talk to some of the biggest names in the music industry in America over all these years on Those Were the Days. That's a credit to you as a reporter, as a music journalist. But it just shows the kind of quality of show that you have as well.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it is absolutely. A lot of times it was persistence. I think in the early days, prior to the internet, I actually wrote letters or sent faxes. You know, that's how you would get a hold of management or whatever. Now it's a totally different world. But and like in the case of Dick Clark, I just called his office and the lady that was there happened to be she was originally from Madison, Wisconsin.
No way.
And so we struck up this conversation and I must have sounded like a nice guy. And she said, you know what? I'll put in a good word for you. And so sure enough, the next day I had Dick Clark on the phone with me.
Wow. How did that? I don't know if I ever actually heard that one. How did it go?
It went really well because I talked about, he started in radio.
Right.
So I asked him a lot of questions about starting out in radio in the early days of American Bandstand. And one of the keys to interview, and I think I've always tried to find a question that maybe they've never been asked before. So just, you know, whatever it might be. Hey, favorite Christmas toy, maybe. Right. Something to get the ball rolling. Right. That wound up to be a really good interview. And Steve Allen, as I mentioned, who had Elvis Presley on in some of the early days of TV, too, and wrote hundreds and hundreds of songs, too. The guy was just so multi-talented.
Steve Allen did? I didn't know he wrote.
Yep.
Wow.
I think he wrote the Gravy Waltz, I believe, was one of his.
not in the top 40, but still.
No, but still. But that was one of the times where I felt like, wow, this guy is a little over my head. This guy's pretty intelligent here, but I was able to hold my own.
About a minute before the break, Phil, what's kind of one of your favorite recollections from these interviews? Something maybe that surprised you that you learned from somebody like, wow, I didn't know that.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. Pat Benatar, who recently went in the Hall of Fame, along with her husband, Neil Girardo, I learned from them what good people they were. You know, they start asking me questions. How many children do you have? Oh,
wow.
Wonderful. Those kind of things. You can tell that they were just real down-to-earth people. They were thinking about me more than I was thinking about them at the time.
Isn't that cool? I mean, that's one of the things you learn with people, like famous people you talk to, right? Is that we're all just people, right? We put our pants on one leg at a time.
Exactly. Lots of fun, Todd.
We'll come back, talk with Phil about some big news on for New Year's Eve. So stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked into my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is the song. That is the song that potentially got me in trouble, but Phil Nee stepped in and saved me.
Yeah.
I don't get fired for it.
No. That was fantastic. Thank you, Mr. Zommers, for dialing that up. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. We're talking with Phil Nee, host of Those Were the Days, playing great songs like that, and also the station manager for WRCE, WRCO in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Phil, before the break, talking about your show, but you do a variety of things beyond just your Saturday night show. You also do, like Chad Holmes from our affiliate up in Wausau, where actually you have a connection, right? You were telling me at the break, I guess I'd forgotten about this.
Well, sure. I went to broadcast school in Wausau, Wisconsin, 1982-83 school year at Trans-American School of Broadcasting,
wow,
which was owned by Ray Samanda, who was the longtime voice and face of Menards.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yep. He was the white-haired, dapper gentleman that spoke for Menards for many years, but he owned the broadcast school in Wausau.
I did not know that. So he was the guy who'd say, save big money at Menards.
Yes, exactly. That was the guy. He did it for years and years.
Now, that is a great piece of trivia, Phil Nee. And why is trivia important, once again, to people listening today?
People love it. And the thing of it is, though, the dawn of the internet changed things quite greatly for radio, because you think you might have the most perfect question ever and somebody can find it within 2 seconds by holding their phone up to the radio speaker.
Isn't that crazy? But you do trivia questions on Those Are the Days and Saturday Night. But for many, many years, WRCO, WRCE had a trivia-thon on New Year's Eve. And then, like a lot of things, it kind of ran its course and for various reasons kind of decided to not do it for a while. But now, in your new role as station manager, you have some exciting news to share with folks regarding trivia-thon and New Year's Eve.
We're going to be bringing that back, and it's a takeoff of the trivia-thon that's been held at Stevens Point, UW Stevens Point, all these years on their college station. Ken Feed, who is a graduate of Stevens Point College, he came to us in the late 80s with the idea. We decided to do it. Teams organized. We're just kind of like a mini part. We're not actually like trivia-thon like Stevens Point that goes on for days. Mm. We do it over the course of 6 hours. But since the Saturday night falls, or the New Year's Eve falls on Saturday night, I decided, let's do it. Let's throw back to the way it used to be, and teams will organize. The past few years, we haven't done it. Before that, we had answers. They'd submit them online.
Uh-huh.
Like they would text us or they would email us. I'm going back to the old school. You're going to call us up. You're going to give us the answer over the phone, and we're going to play that way. I've encouraged people, this probably won't happen, I've encouraged them to throw away their personal device and just try to play by what they know,
right,
or what the group knows.
Right.
You know, and And we've had questions over the years where perhaps they have to call a neighbor and say, hey,
right,
you went to this school. What do you know the answer? I mean, those kind of things where you get the community involved. But the questions will run the gamut for local trivia, but a lot of nationwide and state stuff, maybe movies you've seen. We've did movie themes over the years like It's a Wonderful Life and other classics. Smokey and the Bandit, maybe, whatever the case might be, but might be something just obscure about that. And we're going to be going back and visiting that on December 31st. So your statewide audience could get involved. They can listen to our stream and play along with us. They can get a team involved if they'd like.
And that was the question, because when I told my sister, Heather, who you know very well, I told her, you know, Phil's bringing back trivia thoughts. Wait. So you're telling me we can listen to the stream and have our own team in Eau Claire? I said, I'll double. She's listening in this morning, but I believe that is correct, right, Phil? Anybody can play anywhere.
Absolutely. We've had great response. We posted it last week on Facebook. Lots of great response, positive. And we've had a few teams sign up. They have until probably the last week in December. Mm-hmm. But the teams that have signed up so far are ones that played like back in the late 80s.
Wow.
I mean, they are stalwart teams that are just glad to be back at it. But it's
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It starts at 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve, and you got to call your answers in. They may be slurring their words by 9, 10 o'clock, but we'll do the best we can to understand.
Some of those older teams checking in from nursing homes eating soft food by 7 o'clock, including me, maybe.
Maybe you, maybe Todd, or we can get you back to answer a phone, maybe.
I'm going
to
be there. You asked me, I'm committing right now live on the air. I will be there to do whatever Phil needs me to on New Year's Eve to help out with the Triviathon this year. So count me in, my friend. I will.
All righty.
You just signed a blank check.
Yes, Aaron said you signed a blank check. So yes,
that's
about 4 minutes left, Phil. If people want to sign up, how do they do so?
They can just call us here. It's old school. We've got forms right here in the studio. 608-647-2111. That's how you reach us at WRCO, WRCE. Again, 608-647-2111.
So just sign up and or call in and sign up that way. Can they, if they want to do it like over Facebook, can they do it that way too, or they call in?
Yes.
All right.
They could message us, certainly. We'll give them the information that way too. But when they register, they'll get a number. So that night when they call, instead of giving some long-winded team name, right, which we've had some interesting team names yes, over the years, my favorite was Naked in James Garner's Garage.
Sounds like my last date, but anyway.
When you call in that night, you'll just give your number, you know, like 15 or whatever.
Right. Very good. It's really great. My sister is excited. She was on the Richland Center Student Council, high school student council, of the original crew that started Triviathon with Ken
yes,
Lead. Both she and I had Ken as teachers at Richland Center High School. So she's going to get together kind of some of her old teammates or classmates from Richland Center High School. She thought we could call ourselves like the RC Originals or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, it should be a fun time.
That is going to be great. Can't wait to hear some of the people call in. Back in those days, it was so much fun because people would go to their local library and check out all these resources, world books and blue books and the encyclopedia. Answers. It was a little more difficult then.
About a minute and a half left, Phil. You also do high school sports. We'll have you back on another time to talk more about that. But any local teams that you're still following the playoffs are done for football, but what's the high school outlook in Southwest Wisconsin right now for basketball?
Oh, we have some good teams in the area. Ithaca, one of the smallest schools in the area, they have a really nice boys team this year, I think is going to, they have not won a conference championship since 1972.
Wow.
In boys basketball. Mm-hmm. And they might give it a run this year. We'll see.
Well, that's good.
But wrestling is underway. I know you've got a great history of wrestling, your dad being a Hall of Fame coach. And,
he coached Ithaca. That's where he got his coaching start.
Excellent at the time, indeed, but yep, had a great career there back when they had wrestling.
Yep, he sure did. It was a good time had by all. Ken Lewis, one of my old teachers, used to say as well. Phil, our time is out. Thank you, my friend, for joining us. Have a great rest of your day. You can hear Phil on WRCO until, what, noon today? Is that correct?
I'll be there, absolutely. Right.
And also on WRCO streaming on those are the days, Saturday night, 7 until midnight. Thanks, Phil, for joining us. Have a great day.
It's been an honor. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Phil D from WRCO, stay with us. More with the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media after this.